Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
All right, you asked for it. We're going to get back into an audio podcast from Fight Night Picks. You can find it at fightnightpicks.net. And today we debut Perry Encounter with your fan questions. So, as we always used to do, let's get into it. Fight Night Picks Perry Encounter. We've had a lot of responses and even more questions. So I know somebody threw it out there. We're wearing the same shirt. Hey, we're staging these videos.
We are.
We're staging these videos so that they're coming out on different days. At least you have something to pay attention to while there's the absence of the fights. And in the absence of major fights, we do have Cage Warriors 113 previews trending here with Fight Night Picks. So make sure you check those out. But to get back to Perry Encounter, the first question that we're going to answer today is coming at us from AJ Gillig. And this is a really interesting question. I like the way that this one's formatted, and I will read it as follows. So, should Colby get the Woodley fight instead of Edwards? Seems like the media really got behind this matchup. If the UFC does make that happen, then that leaves Masvidal and Edwards as the other two top contenders to fight one another. It would be marketable because Masvidal's name and also being a history between the two. The three-piece with the soda incident, which was also on camera, so they can use that in the promos. Bonus question, is Wonderboy the next fight for Gilbert Burns? We'll get to that one. But Matt, in terms of Colby Covington and Tyron Woodley, there's already a built-in narrative there.
Exactly.
That was supposed to be a fight that was going to take place at UFC 227. You had Colby Covington beating RDA not that long ago, that summer. He won the interim belt there, and then that's really where it took off. I mean, Woodley was originally booked in that fight. Then Colby Covington was out due to nasal surgery. Then yada yada, he's going to fight, You have Tyron Woodley taking on Darren Till, ultimately beating the hell out of him, which was a fight that I didn't really agree with them making that fight. It was too early.
And the welterweight division's kind of been all over the place ever since. I mean, Kamaru Usman has finally brought a little bit of, you know, consistency to the division. But with the Woodley sweepstakes, I think it is kind of interesting how it's who wants to fight Woodley at this point. Because I feel like as the hardcore community, we all kind of agree, Tyron Woodley, he doesn't really deserve the title shot just yet, but if you beat Tyron Woodley, no matter what your name is, you deserve a title shot. He still has that much weight in the division. I don't see why you wouldn't do Covington versus Woodley. I know Edwards needs a big fight. He can't keep on winning and winning and winning and then not be rewarded in some kind of way. Personally, and I don't think this is the right decision, but what I would like to see them do, I would do Covington versus Woodley in a main event. There's so much heat between those two, and even though it's not for a title, it would be the biggest non-title fight you could possibly make right now, regardless of weight class. And Leon Edwards is going to hate me for saying this if he is watching. I want Gilbert Burns to fight Leon Edwards. I think that'd be a really fun fight because those guys, to me, it seems like every division kind of has that top three where it's, okay, this guy's fighting the champ and this guy fights the winner of that fight.
Yep.
And in welterweight, we don't really have that just yet, but what we could do is, well, we do actually. We have Tyron Woodley, Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman. And those guys stand head and shoulders above everyone else. And we kind of need a fourth name in there. Leon Edwards, I don't think, has done enough. Because if you look at Leon Edwards in just the public's eye, everyone knows him as the guy who got beat up by Jorge Masvidal after his fight. The RDA fight was a really good performance. He looked really good, but not that many people cared about it just due to the fact that RDA hasn't really been himself as of late. I know he beat Kevin Lee before that, but RDA doesn't really have the same weight behind his name that he used to anymore. So I'd like to see you do Gilbert Burns versus Leon Edwards. Figure out who your next title challenger is from that fight, and then you would do Covington and Woodley in the meantime. That would just be a massive fight. And if you wanted to, you could just say who won the most impressively between those two fights. That's what you could do, but I would really like to see Woodley fight Covington. It's a way better fight for the fans. Leon Edwards is a good fighter, but let's be honest, press conferences sell fights, and Tyron Woodley, Colby Covington press conference would sell so much.
Yeah, I mean, you get the off chance that maybe Tyron Woodley raps a little bit, or Colby Covington tries his hand at rapping. And for Colby Covington, he's made amends with Dustin Poirier, so good to see there. But Colby Covington, it's weird right now because you still have the facade of, is he a bad guy? Is he a good guy? He had that interview before the Usman fight that really broke down the barriers and made it weird.
It
just got weird. But in terms of the top end of the division, I actually agree with AJ. I think the matches to make are Covington-Woodley. I think that fight's a bigger fight than the Leon 100%. Edwards fight. The one thing, the one loser here is Leon Edwards, who's a winner in terms of winning fights. He just continues to win and win in an impressive fashion.
Exactly.
And to me, the fight that really defined Leon Edwards was the fight against Gunnar Nelson, because everybody says Gunnar Nelson, you know, stand-up is amazing. He can switch stances, karate, it's great. And then in terms of his ground game, yeah, jiu-jitsu. God. And Leon Edwards out-wrestled Gilbert Burns. Out-wrestled Gunnar Nelson.
That's the problem.
Out-wrestled Gunnar Nelson, which was a great performance. And RDA, too, right now is pretty much a measuring stick at 170
exactly.
pounds. For Kevin Lee, wasn't able to get it done. For some of these top-end guys like Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman, here we go. Next step. Towards a title.
Here's the problem, though. When you look at what, like, okay, Kamaru Usman versus RDA is one of the most dominant performances in UFC history because Colby Covington beat Rafael dos Anjos, but it was a very close fight. Like, there was an actual discussion when that fight was over of who did win. Now, of course, when you go back and rewatch it, Colby Covington was the obvious winner in that. But there was at least a discussion we had. Kamaru Usman took him down and beat the brakes off him for 25 minutes. Leon Edwards had a similarly dominant performance, but it wasn't to the level of like, oh my goodness, they can stop this whenever. Like, he beat RDA. He didn't dominate RDA. And that's the difference. RDA, especially nowadays, with the more, and not to say casual is it a bad term, but the people who don't really watch every single event, they don't realize how good Rafael dos Anjos really was, and they weren't around for his title reign of 155, so I feel like his name doesn't really have the same shine associated with it, even if you do beat him in a main event, that's all.
I don't know if that's all true. The one thing I will say, Rafael dos Anjos got the raw end of the deal at 155 and should absolutely despise Nate Diaz, because he should have had that Conor McGregor fight if his foot didn't decide to break.
Now, on the other note, just the last little part of that question, who would you like to see Gilbert Burns fight if he doesn't fight Leon Edwards? The Wonderboy fight makes sense just from the standpoint of, a lot of people don't know this, Gilbert Burns and Vicente Luque are best friends, like they were best men at each other's wedding. So it'd be a really cool like kind of storyline because you would have...
I doubt they even play on it, but it would.
But Burns was in Luque's corner for that fight, and I'm sure Luque will be in Burns' corner if he does fight Wonderboy. So there'd just be kind of a cool little layer that you could add to the whole fight, just teammates having a similar rival.
I think it makes a lot of sense, too. I threw it out there earlier on this week, actually, on Between the Links and the Lineup MMA Podcast Network, that that's the fight that should happen.
It'd be good.
I also threw out my singing voice in terms of saying, Wonderboy! But... Wonder Boy hasn't fought in quite some time.
No,
yeah. So,
well, he fought in that Luque fight, and he did look dominant in that fight. Like, he looked like the old Wonder Boy, because I was very worried after the Pettis fight that it was completely gone. Like, the whole allure and the aura of Wonder Boy was just gone. But, I mean, Luque, I thought he was going to knock out Wonder Boy, and
yeah.
Wonder Boy went out there and just beat the brakes off him. So, the Burns fight would be fun, because Wonder Boy does kind of deserve another top tier guy. Like, he'll fight anyone. That's one of the good things about Wonder Boy. Like, he doesn't really care who he fights, but when you get a dominant win like that against the most hyped up prospect at the time, you do deserve to fight ahead eventually. So I would like to see Wonderboy fight Robbie Lawler. I know that's a weird fight. Robbie Lawler hasn't really looked the same as of late, but that's always been a fight that we've sort of been rumored and it's been teased for years now, but it's never really happened. So personally, I would love that to be like a pay-per-view opening fight. It only has to be three rounds, but that would be such a fun
and one. We talked about it, and spoiler alert, if you missed the video, go watch it, but we talked about UFC 189 and we talked about Robbie Lawler, Rory McDonald too.
I watched that last night.
What happened to Robbie Lawler? Then he went on to fight
Carlos Condit,
and then he went on to fight
Tyron Woodley,
and it didn't go all that well. Whereas Wonderboy ended up fighting Rory McDonald and never matched up with Robbie Lawler. It just wasn't.
It'd be a fun fight, and it would very much be a fight for the fans. Like, rankings wise, it might not make much sense. I'm not even sure what Robbie Lawler's ranked at this point, but he's one of those fighters who you don't really care about his record, you don't care about his ranking. I'm gonna watch Robbie Lawler fight, whether it's at 2 a.m. and on a Wednesday. I don't care. I'm gonna watch Robbie Lawler fight. So I'd really like to see the Wonderboy Lawler fight. I'd like to see Leon Edwards fight Gilbert Burns and Colby Covington fight Tyron Woodley. That would be my perfect matchmaking.
I would like to see Colby Covington, Tyron Woodley. I'd like to see the fight that was brought up, Wonderboy and Gilbert Burns. I think that's a fun fight just because you saw Wonderboy strike and get exposed against Anthony Pettis. Well, we've seen Gilbert Burns can outstrike grapplers, but he can outstrike strikers at some point too.
Okay, but let's calm down a little bit.
And with Wonderboy, the question always is, he's such a pure karate specialist. What happens when people take him down? And we've seen it
Gilbert
where
Burns would choke him out.
He gets back up. Most of the time, he's able to pop back up to his feet and continue striking. Of course, the two Woodley fights were, you can say they were sleepers, but they were pretty good fights.
Okay.
They
both were. The first one was really good. The second one was awful. That's the difference. It's not that they were both bad. The first one won fight of the night on UFC 205, which is one of the greatest cards ever, so it wasn't a sleeper. UFC 209's headliner was a big old stinker, though. One punch landed the whole fight, and it was by Woodley. But with all this being said, because you kind of skipped two fighters, if we have everyone else in the top six pretty much matchup. Does that mean you want Masvidal versus Usman as your next title shot?
I'd like to actually see Masvidal versus Edwards. That's the fight that I want to see, just because you can market the three-piece with the soda. It's such a big seller. And if you can have Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz, you can have Roberto Duran and The Rock coming in. What could you do with three-piece and the soda? You could have Reba McEntire playing the Colonel, just like in the commercials.
But wouldn't Masvidal versus Usman, even with no three-piece and the soda, be nine times the fight that... Because that's the problem. Kamaru Usman actually puts on really exciting performances, as of late at least, and he's so dominant, and he's really good behind the mics. He speaks really well, and he gets a lot of media opportunities. Leon Edwards, same can't be said for it. So even though you might have more promotion, as in video, with the whole three-piece thing, the whole backstage fight, Leon Edwards isn't really going to sell that fight all that much. And I feel like at this point in Masvidal's career, he wants a dance partner who's going to engage in that a little bit with him, because he's going to be able to hype the fight the more press conferences, the more attention it gets. So I really would like to see, do Masvidal versus Usman, and then let's say Masvidal somehow wins. I don't know if he does. Usman's so dominant as a champion right now, but let's say he goes out there and knocks out Kamaru Usman. We don't just have a star on our hands, we have a guy who's going to completely transcend all of MMA, because he already has without even winning a belt. So if you add an actual belt to the BMF title, to the fastest knockout ever, like, Jorge Masvidal is going to be so much more famous than all these other guys in the division that I feel like you need to capitalize on it now. Why risk having Leon Edwards beat Jorge Masvidal and completely lose all of that?
I mean, it's mezcal, tequila versus proper 12 whiskey. We'll see what happens, but really looking forward to it. Thanks to AJ for
great question.
Awesome division. We've already profiled it a bit in terms of who are the best non-UFC welterweights that are out there in the world. Now we're talking the best welterweights in the UFC. So we really appreciate it, AJ, and keep those questions coming for us, because we're going to get into another good one. This one comes at us from Ricky Poining, who asks, video on biggest upset which has a chance to happen in the UFC in 2020. Ricky, great question,
really,
because we have a lot of good matchups already set in stone, but this is where we get a chance to get a little sketchy. Maybe there's some matchups that we could see happening that we're going to predict and then pick an upset. And upsets are tough to pick. Like, if you go back and watch any of our predictions, listen, people ragged on us for not picking Tristan Connolly to beat Michelle Pahedo.
Oh, watch that, guys.
Upset of the year. Or, I mean, Daniel Hernandez beating Tim Means, which one of us picked.
That's true.
And it wasn't you.
But that's fine. Just underdogs are so... It's a sport where you can do everything right for 99% of it and still lose. Like, in basketball, you can't be down by 20, hit a basket with 2 minutes left, and all of a sudden score 21 points. MMA is the only sport where there is kind of that checkmate moment in it, unlike, you know, basketball, football, whatever. So that's why it's just so hard to predict these fights.
So, Matt, I like how you really frame that one, because it gets us into a fight that I could see it going either way. And you talk about one of those Hail Marys in the last 5 or 10 seconds. I mean, look at any Derek Lewis fight, more or less. But look at a lot of Derek Lewis fights, especially the Volkov fight, where you got beat the entire, just about, 14 minutes of that fight, and then in the last minute, he gets a knockout win. Look at Alistair Overeem and Yarzinho Rosenstrike, and what happened near the end. And Matt, I think that's where you were going to go.
Exactly. So for potential upsets, and it's kind of tough too, because we don't really know what the state of a lot of these UFC cards are going to be, but what was supposed to be this weekend's main event was Yarzinho Rosenstrike versus Francis Ngannou. Now, I'm not going to lie, I think Francis would have won that fight. I just think he's a little bit better everywhere. But heavyweight's the one division where it doesn't really matter what the ranking is next to their name. When you weigh 260 pounds, and that's what both these guys do, like, these aren't just two of the best strikers in the heavyweight division. They're two of the biggest heavyweights out there as well. And also, we don't really see heavyweights throw head kicks. Yarzinho Rosenstrike throws head kicks like most heavyweights throw jab. It's just very easy for him. He's that high level of a striker. So when you're dealing with guys of, A, just their power, their skill caliber, and the type of fighting styles in which they employ, I could easily see Yarzinho going out there and knocking out Francis. I don't believe it's going to happen, but of all the upsets that are most likely to in the near future, I do think that's one of them, just due to the division more than anything.
And it's weird because Yarzinho Rosenstrike's one of those guys that in the fight against Overeem, there are a lot of people picking Rosenstrike, and then into that last round, there were a lot of people that weren't feeling it. I mean, Alistair Overeem, it was pressure. He wasn't doing the weird demolition man where he was backing away.
He's actually down,
and he was giving the fight to Yarzinho Rosenstrike, which is in typical fashion, in the way that he wins fights.
100%.
I mean, go back and watch the fight against Sergey Pavlovich in his UFC debut. He was just pouring it on him. Same thing with Rosenstrike, whereas at the end, Rosenstrike able to get the win there. The other thing with him is cardio. He does have good cardio. He's a former kickboxing champ. That's his background. And how many fighters do we see from Suriname make it onto the big stage at the top of the UFC. So I think that's actually a good pick. I mean, yeah, I'm picking Francis Ngannou to win the fight. But could I see an upset happen? Yeah, 100%. And I bet you in terms of the odds that there's probably, in terms of parity, not a whole lot there.
No, so I couldn't imagine.
I think that's a really good pick. The one that I'm going to go with, and it's a fight that we do have some odds on certain sites. Go over to Best Fight Odds. That's typically what we'll do. And then we'll look at every single site that has odds. But in terms of futures, Jan Błachowicz and John Jones. And we've seen it with John Jones recently where since he's come back, since the layoff, I mean, he's faced good fighters.
What are you getting at, Craig?
There was an entire card moved just for him from Nevada to California against Alexander Gustafsson. But the Santos fight, the Smith fight, the Reyes fight, there's questions. Yeah. And if Jan Błachowicz fights John Jones, Błachowicz a plus 400 underdog on one site right now. But I'm sure he'll probably be a steady underdog going into that. I could see Jan Błachowicz getting a win. Out of all of these guys, Jan Błachowicz right now, yeah, okay, he's over 35. He's a former KSW light heavyweight champ. How many light heavyweights do they have that have really cracked it? Not a whole lot. But Jan Błachowicz is very consistent. We haven't seen a lot of inconsistency from him. And at 205 pounds, he's one of those guys that just keeps winning in steady fashion and by finish. And the question that I had in one of the fights, and listen, a lot of people were sleeping on Nikita Krylov. And yeah, he just beat Johnny Walker, and you can say, what does that matter? But Nikita Krylov, Jan Błachowicz, I was worried that if Krylov brings the fight to the ground, he's going to finish Jan Błachowicz. Jan Błachowicz submitted him.
Yeah, easily too.
His striking right now looks absolutely fantastic. You can say, hey, it's against Luke Rockhold, it's against Beeston 25-8 Corey Anderson, but still, the power he possesses, the left hook, and just the straight volume that he can throw with power, I think it proves a really good and tough test against John Jones.
But also similar to kind of what you said to me, I would 100% favor John Jones in that fight, but I do agree. It also, I think that has less to do with how good Jan Błachowicz is, though, and more of the decline that we've seen from John Jones as of late. Now, of course, John Jones is still beating all these top contenders if you look at the actual record, but when you're watching the performances, John doesn't wrestle at all anymore. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. He doesn't even go for takedowns. It's not like he's a guy who, let's say if Kamaru Usman stopped going for takedowns and every fight looked like coming to fight, he's probably not going to be champion for that long. Like, he needs to employ them and mix it up very well. John Jones is good enough that he can not wrestle and still get the wins, but when you look at how he is at his best, look at the second Gustafsson fight. He took him down, got on top, and landed some of those hellacious ground and pound we've ever seen.
And that's where I would go with it, because stylistically, I think Jan Błachowicz and Alexander Gustafsson are close enough where you can make a comparison to the fact that Jones would have to bring the fight to the ground.
I do agree. I just feel like the speed of Gustafsson is so much different than what Jan Błachowicz brings to the table. Jan, yes, if he hits you, it's going to hurt a lot worse. But the problem is Gustafsson might pepper you five times and not be able to land that big six shot. Jan's just going to be waiting for that big shot for a lot of it. But no, I could definitely see John Jones, A, he's been a lot more stagnant as of late. His defense is still really good, don't get me wrong, but he's much more hittable now in this stage of his career than he ever has been before. And when you're dealing with a guy like Jan Błachowicz, who just the massive power he has in his hands, and I know he had a bit of a bad fight with Jacare, it wasn't very entertaining, but when you do look at his stoppage victories, he can get it done on the feet by knockout, he can get it done on the ground due to submission, and defensively, he's really good on the feet and on the ground. I mean, Jacare, yes, he's a little bit older in his
career. But he just shot for takedowns,
exactly.
It just didn't
happen.
And
Jan was able to defend them, keep it to the feet, be really technical in his approach. No, I do think that is another good one. Lastly, too, just to throw a third one in there, if Masvidal fights Kamaru Usman, again, I would favor Kamaru Usman. I would assume he's going to be a pretty heavy favorite in that fight, but when you just look at what Masvidal's been able to do, primarily the wrestlers, too, he's been able to knock a lot of them out, which is a little dangerous if you're Kamaru Usman. Of course, I would pick Kamaru Usman in that fight, but there's so many fights coming up that, and even in title fights, the skill level is so high between the challenger and the champion that no matter what the odds show, both guys aren't just the best. Like, they're the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. Like, you have to be so good to get to that level in the first place that any title fight, there is a decent chance for an upset.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the Masvidal Usman, but I get where you're coming from, and I can certainly see the parallels between them. And I think, listen, you could list off a whole bunch of upsets, and please do in the comments. We'll try and run through some of them. And also throw some more questions at us for Fight Night Picks Parry and Counter, but there's so many ones out there. There's so many fights that don't have odds. There's so many fights that are rumored
to
happen.
Here's what I guarantee. If Clarissa Shields ever fights Amanda Nunes, Amanda Nunes is going to submit her in 30 seconds.
She's a minus 700 favorite right
for
now.
For a reason.
But we really appreciate it. I mean, there have been great questions. We still have some more to answer today, so make sure you throw them at us over on YouTube. We love this segment. We're going to keep it going. Now, AJ, got a question in earlier, has another good one here, missed the boat with the first round, but like I said, keep the questions coming at us. So his question is, One of Connor's coaches was on Ariel's ESPN MMA podcast and was eyeing a return for Connor on the International Fight Week card. The discussion seemed to lean toward Gaethje being his next matchup. Now, if he wins, that immediately puts him in the driver's seat as the number one contender. However, I'm still on the fence that Connor should complete the Diaz trilogy, which will ensure his cardio is good and skills are fine-tuned before having to go fight one of the top lightweights in the division. Or maybe he should wait on the Diaz fight because Hooker can make the case for the next title shot with a win over Dustin Poirier. I'd like to hear y'all's thoughts on this. Awesome question, really, AJ. And it really gets us into the complexities of the UFC's lightweight division and to an extent welterweight as well with Nate Diaz. Matt, in terms of Conor McGregor, so he has a big win against Cowboy Cerrone to start off the year. We haven't seen him since. Legal woes in Ireland that we haven't really heard of since then. And now we're at an awkward spot where we've had fights canceled or postponed. And who knows the status of International Fight Week. One of the things that's been brought up, I know, by my co-host on Loudmouth MMA Podcast Network with Early Stoppage, John Franklin. He said maybe what they do with International Fight Week is they absolutely overload it if it's able to happen. And you have cards Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, you have great big main events.
Made with a good time.
It's just absolutely stacked. And then even on Saturday when you have your pay-per-view, just have like
three title fights.
Make something happen. We haven't seen that since what? Maybe UFC 200?
217.
When it was supposed to happen? For International
Fight Week.
And of course, we don't have the Ultimate Fighter. We still have Dana White's Contender Series. So there's a lot of moving pieces. And especially, like I said, with the canceled fights and postponed fights. But in terms of Conor McGregor, at 170, he's in a good position with a win over Cerrone. At 155, there's still...
We gotta stop with that talk.
There's still some conversation there. Now, I think ultimately, the plan in the home is probably at 155 and not at 170. In terms of being in a driver's seat, I know when he beat Cerrone, a lot of people were kind of saying, hey, maybe he's the next guy to challenge at 170, because we don't have a challenger there yet.
We don't.
And at 55,
here's the problem though. Even if you're a McGregor fan, do you really want to see Conor McGregor fight Kamaru Usman? Because I don't care how much you like him. Like, watch the Khabib fight. Kamaru Usman's just Khabib, but way bigger. Like, they have the exact same style. Kamaru's probably better on the feet. But when it comes to the ground, yes, Khabib has more, like, intricate guard passes and whatnot. Kamaru Usman outweighs Conor McGregor by at least 30 pounds. He's taller than him.
You sound like...
Yeah, and he's a sumo wrestler. But no, Kamaru Usman does everything Khabib does, but he's a lot bigger than him. That's the problem. So even if you are a McGregor fan, I don't understand why you'd be trying to go for that fight. I get you want to see him be champion at three different weight classes, but if we're being very realistic with ourselves, Conor doesn't beat Woodley, he doesn't beat Covington, and he doesn't beat Kamaru Usman. So I take those three names off the table. I think that there are two fights in welterweight for him. In my mind, the Conor McGregor sweepstakes, if you will, come down to five different fighters. I think we have the Jorge Masvidal fight. I think that there is talk about that, just due to the fact that Masvidal's such a big star at this point. And if you put two big stars together, it's going to guarantee great business. Nate Diaz trilogy, of course. But the problem is, I don't see Conor taking that, because if he takes the Diaz trilogy, it's his sort of way of admitting, okay, Masvidal's one ahead of me. You know what I mean? Because Masvidal already got that Diaz win, and he stopped Diaz. Conor wasn't able to stop Diaz, and Diaz was able to stop him. Not that that has much to do with anything. It's just, you're kind of admitting that that guy's ahead of you if you go right in and fight the guy who he just beat. That's all. Now, 155, I think there's three names there. I think we do have Gaethje, we have Tony Ferguson, and we have Khabib. Khabib and Tony are going to cancel each other out, though, because, of course, one of those guys are going to win, and he would more likely fight the winner. I don't think he fights Justin Gaethje is the problem. I know there's been a lot of talk about that, mainly from Ali Abdelaziz, of course, because he manages Khabib and Justin Gaethje. So, of course, he's going to want two of his athletes to get that big payday. But I don't see them doing the Gaethje fight for this reason alone. Hardcores know who Gaethje is. Casuals know who Gaethje is. That's a really good thing if you want to fight Conor McGregor. The problem is, Justin Gaethje has a style that even if you beat him, you're not going to be able to fight for a long period of time afterwards. If you look at Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier, they both beat Justin Gaethje, the only two guys to ever do it. They beat him by stoppage, but the shape that they were both in, even after those wins, like, they were not able to fight for a meaningful period of time afterwards. So I don't think the UFC risks, not their golden goose, but they don't want to risk their poster boy fighting a guy who, even if you beat him, you're not going to come out of that fight the same way. Especially with the whole leg kick problem, too. Conor McGregor stands in a karate style. What's the one thing that we see beat the karate style almost every time? Anthony Pettis did it really well against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Throw leg kicks with reckless abandonment. They've only got one leg in front, and you're going to force him to be an orthodox fighter, and he won't be able to fight from southpaw. Getting way too in-depth on that, but anyways, I just don't see them making that matchup. I think that they will end up going with either the Masvidal fight fight, or they're going to try an angle to get the winner of Tony Ferguson versus Khabib. I really only see those two as being the main options for Conor McGregor.
For me, there's all ultimately quite a few different avenues. You brought up the majority of them. I'll throw two more at you. I think the Hooker and Poirier angle is a good one. I just don't know. There's such a logjam at the top of the division.
Just okay.
The winner of that fight, what do you get? Because if you're Poirier or Hooker and you win that fight, you probably get a Gaethje, or you probably get somebody else that's near the top. You're not going to get a title shot, because we've seen how it worked out for Dustin Poirier against Khabib. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So in terms of nuts and bolts, I'd like to see a rematch between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. I just don't think it's going to happen. The other rematch that I want to see is Max Holloway.
That's
Max Holloway
fight.
Because for Max Holloway, yeah, there's rumors out there. There's odds on it with Volkanovski, and Volkanovski's actually favored, a 2-1 favorite, which I think is kind of crazy.
Totally,
but
absurd.
I know how you feel about Max Holloway. But I think if Max Holloway makes the full move up to 155, if you have him fight Conor McGregor, you can sell it as a rematch, even though it was really, really early on in their careers. It's still a good fight. It's still one that you could main event with. And you could counter my argument there and say, Max Holloway, he's been in main events before. They don't sell all that well. Who cares?
He's taking on him. That's the problem.
Yeah, he's very likable. He's very camera friendly, and you're putting him up against the biggest star in the sport. So why would you not make that?
And it would actually be kind of fun, because you wouldn't have a guy who's going to try to talk crap back to Conor McGregor. You're going to have a guy who's like got his son at fight week the whole time. It's going to be really hard to talk bad about him. So it'd be kind of be funny. I really like your two options. Just the one thing I was going to throw in there, I think it really matters who wins the Dan Hooker and Dustin Poirier fight. Just due to the names of both guys. I know Dan Hooker is starting to get a little bit more shine, a little bit more push, but at this point in time, Dustin Poirier is by far the bigger name out of those two. So if Dan Hooker wins, I don't see him in the Conor McGregor sweepstakes. If Poirier wins, I think he's more likely to get the fight, although I don't see either one getting it. But I do think in that fight, it does kind of matter who wins, and that would be more likely to.
So to recap, we've got all of these names. I had Holloway, and I had possibly the Poirier-Hooker winner. Then we also have Justin Gaethje. We have Tony Ferguson and Khabib. We've got Jorge Masvidal. We've got Nate Diaz. Let's maybe not set it in stone, but at least make our case or make our pick for the one. And I laid out just two names, and I believe in one of them pretty heavily, and it's not talked about. I think Max Holloway's the guy at 155.
Really?
You put those guys in a fight. Now, we saw what happened with Max Holloway for the interim lightweight championship against Dustin Poirier, where he lost that fight. He didn't win. So is he back at 45 again to challenge against Volkanovski, or does he make the full move up to 55? Well, if he fights Conor McGregor, would you give him an interim belt? Would you put him in title conversation? Would they be the number one challenger, the winner of that fight?
This is what I would do. I would really like to see that fight. I do think the rematch would look a lot different. I think Max needs the 145 belt to be able to do that and jump right into the 155. I would like to see him rematch Volkanovski. Let's say he gets over on Volkanovski. Then you could immediately, I wouldn't even bother doing the trilogy of Volkanovski. I'd wait for that a little bit down the line when both guys have way bigger stars than you have a kind of a super fight going on. But I would like to see Max get that 145 belt. And then if you could have the 145 pound champion, the belt that McGregor never really lost, have them fight at 155 as your, not for an interim title, just do it as the non-title fight main event. Have it 5 rounds, kind of like Conor and Cowboy. And Cowboy might be more well-known to the casual fans, but if you have the 145-pound champ fighting Conor McGregor at 155, I think that sells a crazy amount, especially the personality of Max Holloway. Volkanovski, though, is a big problem to try to solve, so that's a big issue. I'm going to put my set in stone. I think it's more likely to be at 170, and I don't think Max is going to be able to fight at 170. Not that he won't be able to. I just don't see him moving up to welterweight anytime soon.
I've got him at 55.
Oh, I hear you, but I do think Conor McGregor is going to keep on trying to fight at 170, but he's going to try to keep on fighting lightweights at 170. Saying all that, I think he's going to fight Masvidal. I think that's the more likely of all the options, just because the stars sort of aligned. Both guys got their massive superstar off of Nate Diaz. Both guys had crazy all-time fights with him. And Jorge Masvidal is the one guy right now who might be sort of the casual champ, if you will. Everyone knows...
Well, I mean, he's the BMF champ.
Exactly. He's the BMF champ. The UFC has him all over the place. He's got his own, what is it, tequila now?
Mezcal tequila.
There
he's also in the Poker Stars commercial
exactly.
with Amanda Nunes and Bruce Buffer.
Like, Jorge Masvidal, it's really crazy to just see how he's been able to sort of reinvent his career and... You know, hopefully you can keep that going for him. I see that as being a big fight. Because A, you have two of the best pure boxers in all of MMA. You have two guys who, the press conferences would be absolutely insane. They'd be able to sell that fight, no doubt. The Rock would probably be there. I'm sure Bono would probably be there. He's a big Conor McGregor fan. So you could definitely have a really cool main event. Do it in Dublin for all I care. But I think that is your most likely. Just because A, Masvidal's the biggest star of all those other guys. I know Usman's the champ at 170, but more people know who Masvidal is. And I think that'd be a really fun fight. But I don't think you can really go wrong no matter what. Conor McGregor, say what you want about him, I say this a lot. I don't really like Jon Jones. Can't say I like Conor McGregor. But the sport feels a little bit more fun when your big stars are involved, because there's a lot more hype around the events. More people are talking about it. And it's always just a lot more fun. So hopefully we do get one of those matchups sooner rather than later.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's all sorts of people that you can match up against them. Let us know in the comments who you're picking. Matt's going Masvidal. I'm going outside the box with Max Holloway.
I don't think you can go wrong either way.
It's hard to go wrong with any of the fighters that we list off. Maybe there's some fighters out there that we didn't think
That's
of
true.
That you're thinking of as well. So let us know in the comments, as well as any other questions, comments, concerns, what you have for us with Fight Name Picks Pairing Counter. Listen, we're having a ton of fun answering your questions in the absence of fight. But remember, we do have picks for Cage Warriors 113, so make sure you check those out. And as always, Matt, with Fight Name Picks, let's get into it.